Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God so that we can explore the Word of God together. Well, there's so much going on. Every week when we get on the program, it's something new that's going on, something that is happening that, you know, if you're not going through life with God, I'm sure it would have to be very overwhelmed. You would have to be very overwhelmed with all of the situations. We are now faced with the coronavirus, and, you know, we all have opinions of what could have been done better and should have been done better. But the fact remains is this is where we're at right now. I'm calling from the city of New Orleans, and they say we have, I think, 13 cases confirmed. But y'all just have to be prayerful and be vigilant and do the necessary things that you should do to protect yourself and protect others. Still in control. And God still does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, because he's God. And you have to trust God in not some things, but all things, even with the coronavirus. God makes no mistakes. And yes, he may not have orchestrated it, but he had to allow it because it's here. And with knowing that, and knowing that God works all things out together for our good, all I can tell you is be strong in the power of God and just hold on to God's unchanging hand. And I'm sure he will see you through. Well, tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of Ephesians. We are in the 6th chapter. We're going to expound on the 13th to the 20th verse. And the title of our lesson is How to Dress for Spiritual Warfare Success. The world will always tell you how to dress for success. But as Christians, God allowed Paul to write in the book of Ephesians what is necessary for us to put on for our spiritual success. So what I'm going to do now is play a song. We're going to come back and we're going to go to the throne of grace. And then after that, we're going to expound on the word. Listen to the song, because there's messages in songs. Sometimes a song can make you think more than reading the Bible. But listen to the song. Pray for our Bible study on the night that God doesn't allow his word to return void. Pray for one another. And we'll be right back. The title of the song is, and I thought it was appropriate for the program since we're talking about warfare. The title of the song is, The Battle Is Not Yours, It Belongs to the Lord. And it's by Yolanda Adams. Once it's finished, we'll come back.
What are you trying to say, Yolanda? Look, forget about all that other junk. This battle ain't yours. It's the Lord. Think about it. And then start shouting.
He can't die. He Yeah.
Yeah, just like the song says, the battle is not yours, it belongs to the Lord. And before I play the song, I touched a little bit on the coronavirus. I just want y'all to be, as Peter said in the Bible, be vigilant, be sober, because the adversary is seeking whom he may devour. Yes, do what you need to do to protect yourself and to protect others, and bring it to God in prayer and leave it there, because God got you. He said in his word, he's going to work all things out together for the good. We just have to trust God, not in some things, but in all things. And with that being said, it's time for prayer. If anyone would like to lead us in prayer, please check, press the one button on your phone so that we could go to the throne of grace. Anyone who would like to pray, press the one button. Sister Pam, I see that you have pressed the button. And Sister Elyria Mackey, Minister Mackey has pressed the button. We're going to let Sister Mackey lead us out at the end. And we're going to let Sister Pam bring us to the throne of grace right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good night, everybody. Lord, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. Lord, we thank you for allowing her to bring forth another, your word on another Wednesday night. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and for all that you're still to do. Lord, we just want to lift up those tonight that are going through and have contracted the coronavirus. But Lord, just know that God is still in control. He's a miracle working business. He's control of all things, and don't nothing happen without God's knowledge. We must just hold on, people. We just got to hold on to our faith. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you're doing. God, we know that you have all power over all things. We just have to trust and believe in your word that everything that happens in this world happens for a purpose and for a reason. Lord, we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your love. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor. And my sisters and brothers in Christ, I say to you again tonight, praying times. It's not playing times. It's praying times. And for that, I say thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for that beautiful prayer. And we're going to explore the word of God together. You know, I think the lesson tonight is very appropriate for what we're doing. You know, when they was looking at the coronavirus and they was doing, you know, they, you know, getting ready for it, you saw the men in them full protection suits, and some of them had the face mask over their head, and they had something tied around their head because they was going into battle with the virus. Well, a night, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, told us as Christians how to get ready to go in the Bible, go into battle. He gave us a beautiful illustration with the putting on the whole armor of God. And he told us if we do put on the armor of God, we will win the battle. So I want you all to listen and pray, and as we explore the word of God together. And if anyone would like to say anything when it's over, add to us or give us a different perspective. You know, because I tell you all the time, I'm not the smartest person. I don't have all of the answers. And sometimes something that you may have to say can get across to someone better than I. So with all of that being said, we're going to explore the word of God together. We're in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 13th through the 20th verse. The title of the lesson is How to Dress for Spiritual Warfare Success. And always we have a little background. I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. But I want you to know tonight that the enemy also has a plan for you. We just have to decide which voice we're going to listen to and how are we going to choose to follow, who we're going to choose to follow each day. If we don't make a determined choice, if we don't be determined in our choice that we make to follow God, we may eventually fall into the evil one's trap. Y'all know how easy it is. God gave specific instructions in his word. He gives us all we need to stand strong in this life. There's nothing that you need that the Bible doesn't have it. God didn't short you in his writing and made you just wonder. Everything you need to live a righteous life is in the word of God, but do you read it? I know a lot of people that don't pick up the word of God, but they'll take time and read you. You see, but yet too often today, we have these busy, full, lives. Sometimes we're so busy that we ill-equipped, we unprepared, or we simply not aware of what we up against. You have a little information. But do you fully understand that this is a war going on? And it's between the flesh and the spirit. And it's happening every day in our lives. And it's not going to end until Jesus come back. And often we don't realize who the real enemies are. You know, we fighting the wrong person, place, or thing, perceiving that that's the enemy. But the Bible lets us know that Satan is our enemy. And I come to tell you tonight that he is real. He always was and will continue to be our enemy, as I said earlier, until Jesus come back. You see, because long as they have flesh on our bones, sin dwells in the flesh. The desires of the flesh want what the flesh wants. And when we accepted Christ as our Savior and he filled our soul, the soul and the spirit want the things of God and the flesh want the things of the world. You see, Satan was created by God as an angel. He fell from heaven and was cast into hell, but he's roaming the earth, warring against God and his people. You see, Satan is a fallen angel who rebels against God. You see, the demons mentioned throughout the Bible, you know, they say, and the demons came into the man, and the demons did this. The demons that the Bible speaks about are evil spirits that are ruled by Satan. You know, many scholars conclude these beings, these evil spirits, are the fallen angels lured away from heaven by the devil. And I want you to know, in fact, it was about one-third of the angels when God decided to kick Satan out of heaven. A third of all the angels decided to go with him. And that's his demons. That's his imps. That's who he used. That's his followers. You see, Satan first appeared in Genesis 3 as a serpent tempting Eve to sin. Although the name Satan is not used, it was him in the form of a serpent. You see, in the book of Job, Satan afflicted a righteous man named Job with several calamities, trying to turn him away from God. And I'll give you another note of Satan and how he tries to do in the temptation of Jesus Christ. Satan also, you know, with Jesus Christ, Satan tempted Jesus and tried to get Jesus to do what he wanted to do. You see, Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know, after that time, he was weak. You see, Satan gets you when you're weak. When you're in your most vulnerable position, that's when he come to get you. And that's why tonight the lesson is telling you to be strong and stand and equip yourself and dress yourself for spiritual warfare. You see, Satan also attempted the Apostle Peter. He got in him and talked in his end, got him to deny Christ three times. And yes, it was Satan that got into Judas who betrayed Jesus. And you see, Satan's greatest advantage is that many people do not believe he exists. You see, because he's been portrayed so often as an image with horns, a spiked tail, and a pitchfork, that millions consider him to be a myth. Today, Satan continues to use his demons to cause havoc and destruction in the world, and sometimes employ human agents. You see, his power is not equal to God's power. Because remember, he is very limited. Remember, he is limited. The good news is that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan's ultimate destruction is assured. He loses. We have the victory. How can you not go around with a spirit of peace in your heart, knowing that the battle for your eternal life has been won? There's no guessing in that game. And Satan knows the story as well, but he's still trying, because what else could he do? But we have the victory, and his destruction is assured. You see, the book of Ephesians has given us a way to dress for spiritual warfare success against the tricks of the devil. And what the Bible tells us to do is put on the whole armor of God. You see, you know, we always say wherever God guides, he provides, and whatever God asks you to do, he gives you the provisions to accomplish it, and everything that God has asked you came with provisions. Well, you see, putting on the whole armor of God is our provisions that God has extended and given us for our success to win the battle. It's so amazing if you take time and really realize God never asked you to do nothing he know you can't do. God knew we was weak and we was helpless. And, you know, he even said that we are like filthy dish rags. He knew that. That's why he sent his son to die for us. So God is always providing what we need to be what he want us to be. Now, that's pretty cool. He never set us up to fail. So if we look at the scriptures, I'm going to read Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Get your Bibles if you don't have it. And I'm going to read 6 through 13. And the scripture says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." These principalities and the wickedness in high places. Can you see it going on today? You know, when we look at our leaders and the way that the world is going and what's all happened, he say, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So then on verse 13, he say, okay, y'all got that. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And our days are getting evil and evil. So he said, take the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day. And then look what it says. And having done all, he said, not saint. You see, if we look at these verses, they're letting us know that there's an ongoing battle. And to some people think that they got religious enough, or they, you know, so close to God that nothing's going to happen to them, or they don't reach the plateau. But I want you to know that it's an all-out war, a spiritual battle, and Christians will be engaged in it, and it will exist from now on until Jesus comes back. So you can't lay down on a job. You see, this war has no time out, no quarters, no ceasefire, no temporary truce. It takes no vacation. And I think it was a song or something was out when they used to say, hold up, wait a minute. I want you to know that you will not be afforded the opportunity to say, hold up, wait a minute. Nobody can stop it. Come on now. We must know who the real enemies are. That's the other part in the battle. We have to stop fighting one another, which is flesh and blood. But we have to be on guard for the principalities and the powers, which are demonic agents sent by the devil to afflict God's children in the world. There are so many people fighting each other. Our boys on the street figuring that the one they're going to kill is their enemy. But the real enemy is Satan. So what God did, he want to help us through this life. He said, but God has given us our heavenly attire needed to dress for spiritual warfare by putting on the whole armor. You see, once you have dressed yourself, resist the devil and then stand. You see, the Bible keeps telling us in these scriptures to stand, but some people stand before time. They ain't did what they were supposed to do. They didn't go where they were supposed to go. They didn't do whatever they were supposed to do, and they saying it. Well, it's a possibility they could get knocked down. Because they say when you have done all that you had to do and you done put on the whole armor of God, then you stand. Don't stand before the time. And when you stand, it don't mean to be idle, but it means to be ready for the enemy's attack, because he's going to attack you over and over and over again. You see, that's a scripture in the book of Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, thinking whom he may devour. And it's so true. And then the scripture's going to go on. You know, he took time to tell us it was a war. He told us who the battle was, who the enemies was, and it's a battle and it's ongoing. And he told us all of this. Now he's telling us how to dress. So when we get to verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and having on a breastplate of righteousness. You see, when Peter wrote the book of Ephesians, he was in jail in Rome. And I could imagine that, I'm sorry, not Peter. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he was in jail in Rome. I can imagine that Paul being in a jail, and back then the guards were soldiers. So Paul looking at the soldiers all the time and just meditating on the things of God, he decided to use their armor as a metaphor to describe how someone is properly dressed for war and the different pieces essential for the protection of the one in war. So he starts off by saying the belt, the soldier's belt, Paul called it the belt of truth. And I want you to know the belt is the believer's integrity. You see, a soldier in Paul's day had a leather girdle or a belt that he tightened about his waist to protect his loins and to carry his weapons, such as a dagger or a sword. The Bible also, the belt also held his tunic together so it wouldn't be snagged. In our Christian armor, the belt of truth is our integrity that holds everything else together. If you do not have integrity in the big or the little things of your life, I can guarantee you that you're going to lose the battle. Because you see, integrity helps you to do what is right because it's the right thing to do. You know, it's just doing what you're supposed to do. If you're using the word of God as your moral compass, if you're trying to please God or doing what God said to do, and what God asks you to do is only for your success, you doing the right thing ain't going to make God no more God. You reading the Bible ain't going to make God know the Bible more. The Bible was written by 40 men inspired by God what to write in the Bible. God knows the Bible. The Bible is for you. And then he talks about a breastplate of righteousness. And I'll call a breastplate of righteousness, it's the believer's purity. You see, the breastplate of a soldier was sometimes made of woven chains and used to cover the soldier's vital organs. For the Christian, the breastplate is righteousness. And I want you to know tonight that righteousness is nothing that you can achieve in and out yourself. You can never be righteous enough to please God on your own. When Adam and Eve sinned, because God doesn't deal in sin, sin separated us from God. And on our own, we could never do anything to get righteous enough to be able to be united back with God. When God sent his son, and when Jesus died and we decide to believe and trust him as our Savior, God say, what I'm going to do is extend my righteousness towards you. So you see, the righteousness, any righteousness we have is a gift that God has given us, nothing that we could achieve on our own. You see, it represents holy character and moral conduct that causes obedience to the truth. I need to tell you this tonight, that the truth stands alone. You know, when you tell a truth, you finish with it. When you tell a lie, you got to go again. You see, the truth stands alone. You can't change it or alter it to fit your agenda. Because once you try to make any alterations, you know, it's tainted and it's no longer the truth. It becomes a lie. And God said a lying tongue is abomination unto him. You see, the enemy wants to attack you not only with lies, but with your impurities. He wants you to just be selfish. I don't know about you. Do you know any selfish people in the world today? They are those who think only about themselves, who haven't realized that we are only stewards and everything we have came from God. And everything that God has given us is not just for us. Hallelujah. And then there's others who engage in all temptations of the flesh. They know this is wrong. They know that is wrong. And they say they say, but... and their sins are forgiven, that's true. But I want to let you know Jesus died and took away the sins, but the consequences of those sins belong to you. You see, the bottom line is that Satan wants to get into your heart and your mind. See, Satan can't do nothing but play tricks in your mind. He put a thought there, hope you take the thought, and then you accept it as your perception. And if you take it as your perception, it becomes your reality. And I want to tell you, all reality is not real. Reality is only real to who have formulated this value of reality. He's looking for a crack in your armor. And don't be fooled. Satan knows where the cracks are. And if you ain't got God in your heart and really trying to please him, you cannot win the battle. We look at verse 15, they say, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, this is called the shoes of peace. And I want you to know that this is the believer's tranquility. You want peace? Well, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, a Roman soldier would have what they call hobnails. That's like nails with a head on it, on the sole of their shoes, very much like a football cleat. Because when they were fighting, they needed solid footing from which to move. You see, the Christian must have his feet ready always with a sense of eagerness and willingness to advance against the devil and take the fight to him. You see, sometimes when you got power, you know how he's coming to you. You know how he came to you yesterday. He know how he came to you last year. Sometimes you got to be ready to take the fight to him to say, look, you don't even need to come this way. I know you for who you are. You see, because you got peace within yourself. And you got strength from God, and you just holding on to your faith, and then you can really take the fight to him. So when I thought of that, I thought of something that I said, you know, we have to stop telling God how big our problems are, but start telling your problem how big your God is. Switch it around. Stop telling God how big your problems are, but start telling your problem how big your God is. You see, when Satan came against your tranquility, he throws out stones, doubts, and disencouragement to cause you to stumble. Anybody felt like that recently? Do that happen to anybody time and time again in your life? Well, God can keep your mind in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him so that you can win the battle. Keep your mind on Jesus. You know, when Peter asked Jesus, could he walk on the water? And Jesus told him, come on. Peter was walking on water till he took his mind and his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. But I guess it's sort of like the same thing. And then if we go to verse 16, they say, above all, taking a shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, the shield of faith is the believer's certainty. Because you see, with faith, they say, we don't have to see it. So you got eyes and you can see so many things. And then faith is for the things you can't see. That makes you complete. And you certain that it's already all right. You see, the Roman soldier's shield measured approximately 2 by 4 feet and was made of wood covered with leather. And that day, the soldier dipped his arrow in the oil and then lit them and shot them at the enemy. You see, these shields were vital to protect the soldiers from getting burned. The shield of faith means taking God at his word by believing his promises, which will protect you from doubt induced by Satan. How many times something go on and you begin to to feed in and eat it and become doubtful and fearful and alarm about what's going on. And you begin to lose the battle. He wants to place doubt in your mind about God and his truth. But you must always hold on to the confession of your faith. You know, you say, I have faith, and my faith is strong, and I realize faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I know God got me because of the faith that gave me grace, and grace brought in mercy, all of these good things. So that's your certainty. But if you don't hold on to it, it's not effective for you in the battle. Because your faith is able to quench the fiery dart. You see, Satan knows a spark can ignite a big fire. You will need to feed your faith and at other times starve your doubts. Remove the seeds of doubt that may be in your mind today. Put them all aside. Do like Jesus did when Satan tempted him. Use the word of God on them. And I guarantee then you will win the battle. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, the helmet of salvation is the believer's sanity. You see, the helmet protects the head, which is perhaps the most vital part of the body, since it's the seat of all your thoughts and your mind. You see, and a thought in and of itself is not a bad thing, but it's what you do with the thought once it enters your mind. When we have sure knowledge of our salvation, we will not be moved by Satan's deception. That's the people who I often talk with, and they say, I was saved, but now I'm not. That's deception from Satan. Because when you are certain that you are in Christ with your sins forgiven, we will have a peace that nothing can disturb. Because you see, once you're saved, salvation belongs to you, and it will never be lost. The most important thing for you to have at all time is the assurance of your salvation. You know, I often tell people, you know, like today I may die, but I'm sure of my salvation. So it don't make dying so bad because I will be with the Lord. That's there. That's guaranteed. That's finished. That's accomplished. Jesus accomplished it on the cross, and when you accepted him as your Savior, you was grafted in. And then the next is the sword of the Spirit, and it's the good one, the word of God. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given to us as believers is the word, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus' model was so beautiful during his temptation in the wilderness when the devil tried temptation after temptation against him. Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. Jesus spoke the word of God to Satan. If you look in Luke 4, 1 through 13, Jesus responded, it is written, you shall worship the Lord God only. Him only ye shall serve. And again, brought the scripture back into context. He said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He also said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, the sword of the Spirit, it really works. Try it. Plenty of things you may not know, plenty of the things of God you may not know work. But if you take this whole armor of God and dress yourself and you'll see how it works. You could take and memorize some scriptures, study them, of course, believe them, and then use them to defeat Satan's lies and attacks. You see, that's the six pieces of the armor. And like I said, Paul used soldiers' armor as a metaphor to describe the things that God has given us for battle. That's what the full armor is about. And if you look at verse 18, which I didn't put 18 down, verse 18 tells us about praying all the time. You see, we are told to pray in the spirit. That is with the mind of Christ, with his heart and his priorities. In addition to wearing the full armor, we cannot neglect prayer, as it is the means by which we draw spiritual strength from God. You see, prayers are indispensable. Always mean they're indispensable. You got to pray. And always mean in every occasion. Every occasion. Without prayer, without reliance upon God, our efforts at spiritual warfare are empty and futile. So when I close with this tonight, you see the full armor of God, which is truth, righteousness, the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. You can write them down. Go back and listen. You see, because these are the tools that God has given us through which we can be spiritual, victorious, overcoming Satan's attacks and temptations. That's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody would like to add to it, I left some time for us to be able to expound on it. Caller, your number is 504-413. Your mic is open. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, your line
Hello?
Is open. Yes, your line is open.
I just wanted to say that was beautiful.
I thank you so much.
That was really beautiful. I really enjoyed that.
I thank you so much, sir. Have you been calling into the program?
I've been calling, but this is my third time calling.
Praise God. And it is my desire that God lead you to continue to call. This is our Bible study, and everyone is welcome.
Yeah, and I really, on what you were saying, you know, because it's very true, you know, and I just take heed. And I just listened, you know, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. I wrote a few things down to go back on my own to study the word and go from there so I could have my understanding as well.
That's right. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible in 2 Timothy 2:15 say we should study for ourselves. As workmen, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So many people don't study for themselves. When you hear the word of God, you have to meditate on it and do as you're doing. Go back and study for yourself. Because if not, there's scripture in the Bible to say that when that happens, when someone let it go in one ear and come out the other, Satan allowed the birds to come pick the seeds up and you lose it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it is. That's like when you were saying the devil. You thought the devil. The people think the devil come at you with the horns and all that. But the devil sometimes has come as yourself too.
Come on now.
You know, you can be heaven and hell, but we are in hell right now because everything is going on. So you can be that devil towards someone else, and you don't even know. But that person,
right,
you talking to, looking at you as, hey, I can help them out or do this and do that. But you, they looking at you as, okay, you're brown skinned or you're white or whatever, whatever. The devil doesn't come as blue eyes with curly hair. The devil could come as you and yourself.
Yeah, because one of the parts of the lesson tonight was that God, the devil, have his demons that came out of heaven with him. But he said the scripture also let us know that sometimes he uses people.
Yes.
Like
yes.
People, you know, how some people have see somebody, they know, they say that boy got the devil in him because
exactly.
of their actions.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If you're doing the things like the devil, like if you're doing the things that the devil wants you to do that's against God, then the devil is your leader. And
yeah.
then you take on the image of him. The Bible asks
yeah.
us to take on the image of Jesus Christ. Or you could take on the image of Jesus. I mean, the devil, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
So
you're
absolutely right, my brother.
You won't even know it. I mean, I could go come on the street right now and talk to this guy since then and been knowing him and amen. But you telling me, hey, go do this and let's go do this. Nah, brother. Nah, you know where I'm coming from and you know what track I'm trying to be on. But that's nothing but the devil inside of him, but that he can come just differently. It could be an animal. It could be anything. You know?
Right.
And that's how I see it. You know, I don't look
right.
for the one that got the horns and the red and then he coming up with the fire. That's a lie. He's in you some type of way, but you have to see who it is and exit people out.
Right. Doing the things of God. So I thank you,
yeah.
my brother, and I pray that you call back in next week. And I pray that the word that you receive do not return void, but that it accomplish what God set out for it to do in your life.
Right. You know, and I really enjoyed it, you know, and I'm writing as I hear it, and I go on my word like a dictionary, so when it's time to repeat, it's a whole different category.
Come on now. That's called studying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So thank you so much, my brother.
Thank you.
And I
thank
God
you.
For you. All right.
Thank you.
Be blessed.
All right. All right. Steve.
All right. It's almost time for us to end. If anyone else would like to say anything, please press the 1 button on your phone. If not, we're going to go to Sister Elyria, and we're going to open her mic. Oh, another caller. Caller, your number is 504-94207. Your mic is open.
I would just like to say this is my first time of hearing your sermon on the mountaintop, as I said. You have thoroughly served a blessed meal to me on how to dress. And I pray that the Lord will bless me to receive whatever it is that our study was going to be on. I love Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And I'm always thinking of how God wants us to go out. He never wanted us to go out unprepared. He don't send us if he know we are not prepared. He knows that we are prepared. It is us that's bashful about doing the things and listening to hear his voice. When he was sending these disciples out, he was telling them what to do. And when Paul wrote this Ephesians and he was in jail, that must have been a mighty time for Paul. Still wrote Ephesians. And I've thoroughly enjoyed listening at you teach the word and all the things that you blessed me to receive, and I am thoroughly blessed in the Lord to hear your word, the word preached and taught. And I will be listening for you next week. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you, my sister in Christ. If you don't mind, can you tell us how you heard about the program?
From another sister, Lori Dixon.
Oh, that's my friend in Christ. Thank you so much, and I pray you call back. I'm so glad I got to hear your voice tonight, and I'm looking forward to being with you on next week if God stays the same.
Okay. You have a blessed night.
And you be blessed as well.
Okay.
Caller, your number is 504-43048. Your mic is open.
Only wanted to say, I know with all of the talk about the corona virus that's going around, there's a scripture that tells us there will be wars and rumors of wars, famine and pestilence. This corona is a pestilence. It's one of the things. And maybe that's why I'm concerned but not really worried, because I know what God says has to come true. It has to come to pass. And I trust him, and I know whatever happens is what he intended to happen. So I'm at peace with him.
That sound mighty good to me, my sister. And I'm sure you just have encouraged the other people. You brought the scripture out. God said it. We're going to believe it. We're going to hold on to the confession of our faith, and we're going to stand. And I didn't bring this out, but it's amazing that the whole armor of God don't have no equipment to the back, because God said, I got your back. And God, for something to be needed in your back, you would have to be turning your back on the enemy, and that's when they could really take you down. So God said, if you got the armor on right and you dress right and you all buckled up, you will never turn around and retrieve. And that's where our strength comes from, and that's what we should be working towards. And I just want to say glory be to God. And thank you, my sister, for those words of advice and words of wisdom as we go through this time of trouble with the virus. Thank you so much, and God bless you. I have another caller. Your number is 678-598. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Diane. You had just said it. I was going to remind us that God have our back. As long as we keep our eyes on him, there's no need to look back. Like the Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. That's why there's no armor to cover the back, because God got our back. Thank you for a wonderful lesson, and keep on keeping on delivering the word of God as you do. And let him pour back to you all that you pour back onto us on tonight, today and forevermore. And I thank you, my sister.
Thank you. This is Minister Paula Cloud that's speaking right now. She's a minister, and she's a woman of God, and I thank her for listening in, and I thank her for those words of encouragement. Thank you so much, Sister Paula. Minister Paula, I'm sorry. And you be blessed. I thank everybody for their comments and encouragement and expounding on the word and giving us facts of life and all of these kind of things. And this is my desire. So y'all have made me happy tonight, because I tell y'all, this is not my Bible study. This is our Bible study. God has ordained this for a time for us to come together and speak to one another and ask questions and give encouragement and bring add to our lesson and all these kind of things. So I say thanks to each and every one of you. And y'all know I like to close at 9:30. We have a minute or two, and I'm going to minister Elyria Mackey. to give us our closing prayer.
God, we thank you for another night that we come together, oh God. We thank you for another Wednesday night that we were able to come together and break bread. God, you said that we ought to put on the whole armor of God. God, you said in your word that we can stand fast in the liberty wherewith you have made us free. Oh God, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God, you said who the Son made free is free indeed. God, in your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you said the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. So, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we stand on your promises because your promises are yea, and they are amen. And you said if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we could ask what we will, and it shall be given unto us. And, God, we asking that you would bless right now because you said, beloved, above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So we thank you that our soul is prospering, oh, God, that we can be in good health, oh, God. God, we thank you, Lord God, because your word says that we are the light of the world. And we thank you for molding us and shaping us into vessels unto honor, that we would be meat for your use. And in everything we do, we'll give you the glory because you're worthy of it all. Oh, God, Psalms 119 and 164 says, seven times a day do I praise you for your righteous judgment. God, and I thank you, Lord God, for keeping us, guiding and directing us. God, I lift up Minister Diane to you, Lord God, and I thank you for using her in a mighty way. I thank you, Lord, for covering her with your blood because you said in your word that we are your purchased possessions. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and for that we are grateful, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord God, because you said that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that we are your children. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. And you said you give us new mercies, and you give mercies to our children and our children's children. And we thank you, Lord God, for showering your mercy down upon us. God, we just want to stand in your word, oh God. We want to let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we can hide your word in our hearts, that we won't sin against you. God, we just bless your name this evening. We thank you for increase. God, we thank you for faith increase, oh God. You say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we thank you for increasing our faith tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because we want our speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer every man. And God, your word say, with all thy giving, get an understanding. And we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding, oh God. We thank you for those that got better increase tonight in your word, oh God, or opening up on of their understanding in your word, God, because we stand on your word. And you said in your word, you won't put on us no more than we can bear. God, I pray for those that have lost loved ones, has went home to be with you, Lord, that have to bury loved ones, oh God, this weekend, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I lift up families unto you, Lord. I ask that you would bind up broken hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would give peace to troubled minds, because you said you give peace not as the world give it, but as you give it. And God, I call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Maggie. And that's our program for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button now, or we're going to go ahead and close for the night. I thank God for each and every one of you and each one of you that played a part in our lesson and joined in. And it was such a wonderful thing when the people of God come together and share with one another. But that's our program for tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. And until we meet again, I pray that God be with you. And I say good night.